studio, and joining me is Wayne Soren, Vice President of the South Dakota Farmers Union. Good morning, Wayne.
Good morning.
You getting that harvest out of there, or are you still waiting like everybody else?
Well, kind of still waiting. I guess we're not going to have a fall, just like we didn't have a spring. We'll just go from winter to summer back to winter, I guess. Huh?
I know it. It sure feels like it. I'll tell you, last night got cold. Did you freeze down there pretty good last night?
Oh, yeah. We had white frost everywhere. So, yep, we're... Like I said, we're going to go right through fall.
Yeah, and really, it's not a bad time right now at this stage is to get a frost. I think everybody's pretty well ready, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and that'll kill some of them weeds off, and it'll make the combine and go a little bit easier, too. So, yep, it was all right. It's just that we always know what comes after that. That's the problem.
It's starting to come, and we just hope that we can now get some sunshine and warm up to dry these and get this ground ready. I know there's some areas that are getting what used to be ahead of schedule is now starting to slow down and get to more normal.
Well, yeah, now they're talking like Missouri and Iowa and Illinois and Indiana. Those boys, they're supposed to be getting like 4 to 6 inches of rain this coming week. Well, that'll really slow things down.
Yeah, they're going pretty strong out there right now, but doesn't sound real good next week either here. Let's talk a little bit about the news made was the USMCA, the new NAFTA. Some good points and some points that still need to be worked on yet, huh?
Oh, absolutely. We applaud President Trump and getting a deal done because two of the biggest trade partners we have are our next-door neighbors, and we really need to have those kind of trade issues and trade pacts done so that we can keep them on board. The one disappointing thing, and it's a big one, is that President Trump said during the campaign that he thought that labeling meat was a good idea. Here was a perfect place to address it, and it never even got brought up as far as we know, Cool is something that's supported by 80 to 90% of the consumers in the United States, and here we had a perfect opportunity and fell on our face again. So I think we just need to have the consumers keep putting pressure on it. We know where our underwear comes from, but we don't know where our food comes from.
Well, and it's nice. Yeah, we hear people saying that they like to know: is it U.S. or is it coming from Mexico or Canada or whatever? Big difference on some of the flavors on some of these.
Well, that and I think there's a lot of confusion out there. People go to the grocery store and they say USDA inspected, so they just assume that product has been born and raised and processed right here in the United States, and it's the furthest thing from the truth. I mean, everything gets inspected. It just because it has USDA on it does not mean that it's U.S. grown or raised, and so, you know, for ag country out here, we have some educating to do because everybody needs to know what USDA means when it's marked on your meat, and you have to go a little bit further on the label to find out where the heck it is, and sometimes you'll never find out, like in ground beef and those kind of things.
Well, because any meat comes into U.S. has to be USDA inspected, right?
Absolutely, yeah, all meat does, yep. So you know, just because it has that sticker on it or that stamp on it, there are some people that believe that, oh, well, that must mean it's made in the USA, and that's not true.
Well, to get the cool, are they going to have to go through some Congress? I guess that all these trade still has to go through Congress yet, but maybe some things could be added or changed a little bit. I know they're talking dairy. Canada's pretty open to dairy now. Maybe Mexico, we need to do a little bit with the aluminum and steel on that. Maybe there will be some things put in there before we're totally done yet.
Well, and see, that's what I don't know. A lot of these trade pacts, when they bring them to Congress, it's either an up or down vote. They can't really change them. Now, I don't know if this one is that way because, you know, Mexico and us had an agreement relatively quick. I mean, well, I shouldn't say quick, but they were the first. And, you know, then we were asking Canada, are you coming in or not? And, you know, they stalled and resisted for quite some time, and then all of a sudden they're on board. So I'm not real sure how that's going to work, whether Congress gets to play with it a little bit, or if it'd have to be separate legislation, and which would be even tougher because I don't know. It's not a nonpartisan issue. Yeah. Well, it should be a nonpartisan issue.
Should be,
but
yes.
It seems like everything is partisan, yeah. So it'd probably be tough to get through Congress on its own, stand on its own bill, you know.
Well, they were talking that maybe getting some of these done, at least in the initial standpoint, maybe it'll bring both China and United U.S. to the table again and maybe get these hogs and soybeans straightened out.
Well, absolutely, and that's one of the good things that we can take from this is that we got this agreement, and so now we kind of have a boilerplate example of what we're looking for in a trade agreement, and so other countries can say, okay, we can do this, we can't do that, but at least we have a place to start, you know, and up until this point, it didn't seem like anybody, including AIPAC, knew what the Trump administration was really looking for in a trade agreement, and now we have one. So I think that's a good thing.
Well, we'll have to keep watching as it moves through Congress and sees what happens on that. E-15, any news on that front yet?
Well, from the news reports that I've been seeing, we might have an announcement as early as today, maybe tomorrow. The president is supposed to go to Iowa, and we're just assuming that being he's going to go to Iowa, that might be the place that he announces that we have year-round E15, which would be just absolutely fantastic for the corn market. We'll be able to use even more corn to fill that void, because it's good. And that's the other thing that we need to remember here is that E15 is a mandate from the United States. Nobody can take it away from us. No country can embargo it. It's homegrown supply right there, and it's really, really needed right now, because it looks like we have a huge corn crop coming, and boy, if we get much lower in prices than we are right now, we'll really be in trouble then.
Well, E15's a good move, but I put some E30 in again the other day, and still people using that.
Absolutely. I mean, if we could get E30 instead of E15, I think we could double the use of corn in ethanol, and that would be huge. I mean, just think of how much corn we would be able to process. Our biggest problem is if we made that huge jump, I guess we'd have to build a few plants, and that wouldn't be an all bad thing either, would it?
No, it wouldn't. We keep that corn locally and moving, and we still can use the DDGs for the cattle, so it's a win-win-win situation. And, you know, 20, I think it was 23 cents cheaper here, so that's a pretty good savings as well when you fill up them tanks.
Absolutely, and another thing that we need to keep watching on those kind of things is in the Farm Bill, there was some language, I don't know if it's still in there, I think it was on the House side, that made it illegal for people to put anything other than 10% ethanol, or 15 if we go to that, into a non-flex car. And that's the kind of language we absolutely can't have. That's pure coming from the oil companies, and they just don't want people using E30, and I have a car that, or a pickup that is not flex, and I use 30% all the time. So I have had no problems whatsoever with it.
Well, mine's a 2002, and it's still going good. We're going to see some things. Some counties are going. I think Brown County went to E30, didn't they?
I believe if they haven't, they're going to shortly, and we'll be out in Pierre again looking for the state to help us with that, too. When you're the second largest producer of ethanol, it sure seems like the state ought to be on board, shouldn't they?
Well, that's the way the governor's running now. Sound like they're in favor of that E30 in the state vehicle, so that would be nice.
It would be. I think it makes a profound statement to people that are a little bit leery whether they want to put it in their car or not. I mean, if the state says we can use it, then I think that's a huge statement for everybody, not just South Dakota.
Yeah. Get the state and county using it. You can watch those vehicles going down the road, and you can see that you can use it yourself. Well, we better get going, Wayne. You get good luck on harvest, and thanks for joining me today. Be safe.
You betcha. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Wayne. And that was Wayne Sorensen.